ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् चतुर्जयमुदीरये।
We're continuing our reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're on Canto 5. Now we're on Chapter 2. And this chapter is entitled The Activities of Maharaj Agnidra. And we're taking up where we left off at number 16.
Lord Brahma, who was worshipped by the Brahmanas, has very mercifully given you to me, and that is why I have met you. I do not want to give up your company, for my mind and eyes are fixed upon you and cannot be drawn away. O woman with beautiful breasts, O woman with beautiful raised breasts, I am your follower. You may take me wherever you like. And your friends may also follow me. Purport. Now Agnidra frankly admits his weakness. He was attracted to Purvachiti, and therefore, before she could say, "But I have no business with you," he expressed his desire to be united with her. He was so attracted that he was ready to go anywhere, hell or heaven, in her company. When one is absorbed in lust and the influence of sex, one surrenders to the feet of a woman without reservations. Srila Madhvacharya remarks in this connection that when one engages in joking and talking like a crazy person, one may say anything and everything, but his words will be meaningless. Text 17. Shukadeva Goswami continued, Maharaj Agnidra, whose intelligence was like that of a demigod, knew the art of flattering women to win them to his side. He therefore pleased that celestial girl with his lusty words and gained her favor. Purport. Since King Agnidra was a devotee, he actually had no attraction for material enjoyment. But because he wanted a wife for progeny, and Lord Brahma had sent Purvachiti for this purpose, he expertly pleased her with flattering words. Women are attracted by a man's flattering words. One who is expert in this art of flattery is called Vidagdha. Text 18. Attracted by the intelligence, learning, youth, beauty, behavior, opulence, and magnanimity of Agnidra, the king of Jambudvip and master of all heroes, Purvachiti lived with him for many thousands of years and luxuriously enjoyed both worldly and heavenly happiness. Purport. By the grace of Lord Brahma, King Agnidra and the heavenly girl Purvachiti found their union quite suitable. Thus they enjoyed worldly and heavenly happiness for many thousands of years. Text 19. In the womb of Purvachiti, Maharaj Agnidra, the best of kings, begot 9 sons named Nabi, Kimpurusha, Harivarsha, Ilavrita, Ramyaka, Hiranaya, Kuru, Badrashwa, and Ketumala. 20. Purvachiti gave birth to these 9 sons 1 year each, but after they grew up, she left them at home and again approached Lord Brahma to worship him. purport. There are many instances in which the apsaras, heavenly angels, have descended to this earth by the order of a superior demigod like Lord Brahma or Lord Indra, have followed the demigod's order by marrying someone and giving birth to children, and have then returned to their celestial homes. For example, after Menaka, the celestial woman who had come to delude Vishwamitra Muni, gave birth to the child Shakuntala, she left both the child and her husband and returned to the heavenly planets. Purvachiti did not remain permanently with Maharaj Agnidra. After cooperating in his household affairs, she left Maharaj Agnidra and all nine sons and returned to Brahma to worship him. Get your hopes up, boys. Go ahead, get them up. Text, oh.
Text number 21. Because of drinking the breast milk of their mother, the nine sons of Agnidra naturally had strong, well-built bodies. Their father gave them each a kingdom in a different part of Jambudvip. The kingdoms were named according to the names of the sons. Thus the sons of Agnidra ruled the kingdoms they received from their father. Purport: the Acharyas specifically mention that in this verse, the words Matu Anugrahat, by the mercy of their mother, refer to the breast milk of their mother. In India, it is a common belief that if a baby is fed his mother's milk for at least 6 months, his body will be very strong. Besides that, it is mentioned herein that all the sons of Agnidra were endowed with the nature of their mother. Bhagavad Gita 140 also declares, Strishu Dashtasu Varshneya Jayate Varna Sankara. When women are polluted, Varna Sankara, unqualified children are generated, and when the Varna Sankara population increases, the entire world becomes hellish. Therefore, according to Mana Sanghita, a woman needs a great deal of protection in order to remain pure and chaste so that her children can be fully engaged for the benefit of human society. 22. After Purvachiti's departure, King Agnidra, his lusty desires not at all satisfied, always thought of her. Therefore, in accordance with the Vedic injunctions, the king, after his death, was promoted to the same planet as his celestial wife. That planet, which is called Pitraloka, is where the Pitas, the forefathers, live in great delight. Purport: if one always thinks of something, he certainly gets a related body after death. Maharaj Agnidra was always thinking of Pitraloka, the place where his wife had returned. Therefore, after his death, he achieved that same planet, probably to live with her again. Bhagavad Gita also says, Yang yang vapi smaran pavam tatyante kalevaram tangtame vaitikonteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. We can naturally conclude that if we always think of Krishna or become fully Krishna conscious, we can be promoted to the planet of Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna eternally lives. 23, at the end of the chapter. After the departure of their father, the nine brothers married the nine daughters of Meru, named Meru Devi, Pratirupa, Ugradamstri, Lata, Ramya, Shyama, Nari, Bhadra, and Deva Viti. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Activities of Maharaj Agnidra. Haribol. Jai Ho. Thank you.
We'll get a lot of strength to resist the lure of women with that clap. Thank you. Chapter 3. Rishabhadev's appearance in the womb of Mirudevi, the wife of King Nabi. Text 1. Shukadev Goswami continued to speak. Maharaj Nabi, the son of Agnidra, wished to have sons, and therefore he attentively began to offer prayers and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the master and enjoyer of all sacrifices. Maharaj Nabi's wife, Merudevi, who had not given birth to any children at that time, also worshipped Lord Vishnu along with her husband. Text 2. In the performance of a sacrifice, there are seven transcendental means to obtain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 1. By sacrificing valuable things or eatables. 2. By acting in terms of place. 3. By acting in terms of time. 4. By offering hymns. 5. By going through the priest. 6. By offering gifts to the priests. And 7. By observing the regulative principles. However, one cannot always obtain the Supreme Lord through this paraphernalia. Nonetheless, the Lord is affectionate to his devotee. Therefore, when Maharaj Nabi, who was a devotee, worshipped and offered prayers to the Lord with great faith and devotion, and with a pure, uncontaminated mind, superficially performing some yajna in the line of pravargya, the kind Supreme Personality of Godhead, due to his affection for his devotees, appeared before King Nabi in his unconquerable and captivating form with four hands. In this way, to fulfill the desire of his devotee, the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested himself in his beautiful body before the devotee, his devotee. This body pleases the mind and eyes of the devotees. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita it is clearly said, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatpataha tato mam tatpato gyatva bichate tadanantaram. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. One can understand and see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the process of devotional service and not in any other way. Although Maharaj Nabi performed prescribed duties and sacrifices, it should still be considered that the Lord appeared before him not due to his sacrifices, but because of his devotional service. It was for this reason that the Lord agreed to appear before him in his beautiful bodily features. As stated in Brahma Samhita, the Supreme Lord, in his original nature, is very beautiful. Venum kvananta madavinda laraya taksham parhavatam samasitam kudasundarangam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, although blackish, is very, very beautiful. Text 3. Lord Vishnu appeared before King Nabi with four arms. He was very bright, and he appeared to be the best of all personalities. Around the lower portion of his body, he wore a yellow silken garment. On his chest was the mark of Sri Vatsa, which always displays beauty. He carried a conch shell, lotus flower, disc, and club, and he wore a garland of forest flowers and the Kaustubha gem. He was beautifully decorated with a helmet, earrings, bangles, belt, pearl necklace, armlets, ankle bells, and other bodily ornaments, bedecked with radiant jewels. since the Lord present before them, seeing the Lord present before them, King Nabi and his priests and associates felt just like poor people who have suddenly attained great riches. They received the Lord and respectfully bent their heads and offered him things in worship. Purport. It is distinctly mentioned here that the Supreme Personality of Godhead did not appear as an ordinary human being. He appeared before King Nabi and his associates as the best of all personalities, Purushottam. As stated in the Vedas, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also a living being, but he is the Supreme Living Being. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna himself says, Mattak Paratanam Nanyat Kinchidasti Dananjaya. O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. No one is more attractive or more authoritative than Lord Krishna. That is one of the differences between God and an ordinary living being. According to this description of the transcendental body of Lord Vishnu, the Lord can easily be distinguished from all other living beings. Consequently, Maharaj Nabi and his priests and associates all offered the Lord obeisances and began to worship him with various things. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yam labva chaparam labam manyate nadikam tataha. That is, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna himself says, Mattak paratanam nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. No one is more attractive or more authoritative than Krishna, than Lord Krishna. That is one of the differences between God and an ordinary living being. According to this description of the transcendental body of Lord Vishnu, the Lord can easily be distinguished from all other living beings. Consequently, Maharaj Nabi and his priests and associates all offered the Lord obeisances and began to worship him with various things. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Yam labdva chaparam labam manyate nadikam tataha. That is, upon gaining this, one thinks that there is no greater gain. When one realizes God and sees the Lord face to face, one certainly thinks that he has gained the best of all things. Raso pyasya param drishtva nivartate. When one experiences a higher taste, his consciousness is fixed. After seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one ceases to be attracted by anything material. One then remains steady in his worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Texts 4 and 5. The priests began to offer prayers to the Lord, saying, O most worshipable one, we are simply your servants. Although you are full in yourself, please, out of your causeless mercy, accept a little service from us, your eternal servants. We are not actually aware of your transcendental form, but we can simply offer our respectful obeisances again and again as instructed by the Vedic literatures and authorized acharyas. Materialistic living entities are very much attracted to the modes of material nature, and therefore they are never perfect. But you are above the jurisdiction of all material conceptions. Your name, form, and qualities are all transcendental and beyond the conception of experimental knowledge. Indeed, who can conceive of you? In the material world, We can perceive only material names and qualities. We have no other power than to offer our respectful obeisances and prayers unto you, the Transcendental Person. The chanting of your auspicious transcendental qualities will wipe out the sins of all mankind. That is the most auspicious activity for us, and we can thus partially understand your supernatural position. Purport. Verse sounds like a purport. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do with material perception. Even the impersonalist Shankaracharya says, Narayana pado vyaktat. Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond the material conception. Can someone make a note that there's a period after Narayana in this? Can you make a note? There's a period after Narayana in this version of the. It needs to be a comma.
Here it has a colon. It's a colon only.
No, no, no. Vyaktad is a colon. I'm talking about after Narayana.
It's a comma here.
Yes, well, it was a period here. And I changed it to a comma.
Okay. Show me process.
Yes, that's your department. Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beyond the material conception. We cannot concoct the form and attributes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We must simply accept the description given in the Vedic literatures about the Lord's form and activities. As stated in Brahma Sangita, Chintamani prakara sadmashu kalpa vriksha laksha vriteshu surabir apipalayantam lakshmi sahasra shatasam brahma sevyamanam govinda madi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desires in abodes built with spiritual gems and surrounded by millions of purpose trees. He is always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. We can have some conception of the Absolute Truth, His form and His attributes, simply by reading the descriptions given in Vedic literatures and authoritative statements given by exalted personalities like Brahma, Narada, Shukadeva Goswami, and others. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabaved Grayam Indriyahi. We cannot conceive the name, form, and qualities of Sri Krishna through our material senses. Because of this, other names for the Lord are Adhoksaja and Aprakrita, which indicate that He is beyond any material senses. Out of His causeless mercy upon His devotees, the Lord appeared before Maharaj Nabhi. Similarly, when we are engaged in the Lord's devotional service, the Lord reveals Himself to us. Sevan mukhe hiji vadao swayameva spuratyadaha. This is the only way to understand the personality of Godhead. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, bhaktya mam abhijanati yavanyas shasmitat pataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through devotional service. There is no other way. We have to hear from the authorities and from the Shastras and consider the Supreme Lord in terms of their statements. We cannot imagine or concoct forms and attributes of the Lord.
Continuing Canto 5 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 3, Rishabhadev's Appearance. We're now on text number 6. O Supreme Lord, you are full in every respect. You are certainly very satisfied when your devotees offer you prayers with faltering voices and in ecstasy, bring you tulsi leaves, water, twigs bearing new leaves, and newly grown grass. This surely makes you satisfied. Purport, one does not need great wealth, education, or opulence to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is fully absorbed in love and ecstasy, he need only offer a flower and a little water. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. The Supreme Lord can be pleased only by devotional service. Therefore, it is said here that the Lord is surely satisfied by devotion and nothing else. Quoting from the Gotamiya Tantra, the Hari Bhakti Vilas says, Tulasi Dala Matrena Jalasya Chulakenava Vikrini Te Sum Atmanam Bhaktebhyo Bhaktavatsalaha. Sri Krishna, who is very affectionate toward his devotees, sells himself to a devotee who offers merely a tulsi leaf and a palmful of water. The Supreme Lord is causelessly merciful upon his devotee, so much so that even the poorest of men can offer him a little water and a flower in devotion and thus please him. This is due to his affectionate dealings with his devotees. We'll just take a couple of reflections before we go to the next couple of verses on anything so far. Yes, Prabhu.
I like how this morning we heard that the heart is meant for the pastimes of the Lord.
Yeah. It's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the section of the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandir that after one's removed from one's heart all the anartas, which are analogized in that section to be the dust and bits of grain and straw, and it's completely clean, then one can build an altar there and invite the Lord to sit down on the altar of one's heart. And then when he does, then you can hold a big festival and invite everybody to come. Maharaj?
Yeah. I noted that there were all a list of things that we generally accept as devotional activities. And then at the end it said, the Lord doesn't reveal himself because of those things. He reveals himself because of devotional service. So therefore, there's a difference between just doing a sacrifice or doing all the things that was in that list. I can't remember how many of them. I can't remember very many of them, but they were all elevated activities. But devotional service is something else. And this was explained by the Vaikuntha Dutas to Gopu Kumar when he had to change the quality of his japa to Nam Sankirtan. It's the same principle. Mm. It's not by just doing an activity that is approved that also will... I mean, advance you, but to get the Lord's darshan, to get for him to appear for you from face to face, that you can only get by bhakti, by pure devotional service. Which means the consciousness, it's the consciousness of which it's done. It's not the activity itself.
I appreciate all the points that you made. And also this last verse that we just heard, Lord's simplicity says, can you guide his water and tulsi leaf? And who is so simple that he'll just be satisfied with that? It's quite amazing.
Go ahead.
Krishna has one point that said that saturated as well. When the living entity sees the Lord, there's nothing better.
He said that when living entity sees the Lord, there's nothing better. And Prabhupada quoted Yam Labha Shaparam Labham, right? Right. And then that's from the sixth chapter of the Gita. Prabhupada quotes that a lot. It's that upon experiencing this, he thinks there's no greater gain.
Samadhi.
Yes, Prabhu.
Well, it looks like somebody had. It looks like a reflection.
Okay.
From Alex. A-E-L-E-K-S. Alex.
Oh yeah, Buck to Alex.
Zara Nov. We have to hear from the authorities and from Shastras and consider the Supreme Lord in terms of their statements.
The last name there?
The last name?
Yeah.
Zara Nov.
Oh. Thanks for joining us, Alex.
end them up.
What else?
I just had a thought that when I heard that it was mentioned that when one who has exclusive devotion, or what is it, uninterrupted or something, it was a very high standard, then that person can simply offer the fruit, the flower, and the leaf. And I was thinking that was kind of seemed like the bar was being raised there from just the idea of, oh, anybody can just offer a little water to Krishna, and Krishna will accept. But it was like, if somebody has exclusive devotion to Krishna, then he'll accept these things from him.
When I first read the Bhagavad Gita, I read that verse, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam, and I was on my way to high school, and I had a lunch bag with me, and I was thinking about that verse, and I stopped halfway there, and I said, I'm going to try it. I'm going to offer this apple. And I just held it up, and I was like just offering it. I didn't know how to offer anything or what to say exactly, but I think I was saying Om at the time. And I really felt a communion when I did that. It was one of the things that really convinced me even more about the efficacy of a devotional service. Was that? So I was just thinking it. You know, if Madhava Maharaj likes to say, it's not what you offer. He doesn't see so much what you offer, but what you hold back sometimes.
Yeah.
And if you don't know any better, and you're just offering the best you can with what you know, you know, it's that simplicity in offering. Or if a pure devotee is offering something, nothing held back. And it's not out of a sense of a prospect, like, oh, I'm going to get something back from this.
Good. He says, the Lord doesn't want what you're giving. He says, what's behind your back? what's behind your back? Now, was that the apple you would offer every bite?
Yeah, I used to offer all my food like that. I didn't know, so I'd offer on the spoon. So I'd pick it up and I'd think, the first day I was in the temple, I was eating prasadam like that. And they go, no, it's already offered. I said, how could it be already offered? You have to offer, I thought you had to offer every bite. And besides that, I said, you can't use a spoon, to offer like that. Any other things? Yes, Prabhu?
Yes, in the fourth text, something that kind of stuck out to me is, in the material world, we can perceive only material beings and qualities. We have no other power than to offer our respectful obeisances and prayers unto you and the transcendental person. The chanting of your auspicious transcendental qualities will wipe out the sins of all mankind.
Wow.
So, I mean, what we're doing is we're performing a sacrifice. We're cleansing the earth. Immediately I was thinking, well, everybody's going to have to chant, but what we're doing is purifying
The
world.
Guru Kripa told me once, there was a temple in Hong Kong, and then for one reason or another, he was the GVC there, and they closed the temple.
Burijan Prabhu was there.
Burijan was there.
And he left.
And Burijan left.
And then Prabhupada told him.
He said, go back, open an office, sit there and chant. Because just by having a place established and the chanting, then, from there everything can expand. Whole city can be purified. Yes. Can you speak up a little louder, because the devotees online have to hear.
Just about the point which Antonio Prabhu was making about purification and like what we're doing in the Dharma. I remember one purport of Srila Prabhupada, I don't remember the verse, where Prabhupada says that in the holy places Vaishnava personified, so all sorts of people go there to nullify their sins by either, taking bath or, in one sense, taking parikrams, to get rid of the sins. But the only reason the holy Dharam is able to have its potency is because of the sadhus who go and lead the vibration there, so that, the environment constantly stays surcharged with emotion.
Bhavadvida bhagavatas tirtabhuta svayam vibho tirtakuta kurvanti tirtani svantak snevika davrita. You're from San Antonio, but your name's not Antonio. Unless they name the city after you, or vice versa.
just now coming.
I found it charming, but go ahead.
Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that the people who come to the holy place, they leave their reactions there, and they build up. And then when the pure Vaishnava comes, he, purifies all those reactions.
Anything else? Nice reflections. Moving on to the next verse, which is verse number 7. We have engaged in your worship with many things and have offered sacrifices unto you, but we think that there is no need for so many arrangements to please your lordship. Purport. Srila Rupa Goswami says that if one is offered varied foods but has no appetite, the offering has no value. In a big sacrificial ceremony, there may be many things accumulated to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if there is no devotion, attachment, or love for the Lord, the arrangement is useless. The Lord is complete in Himself, and He does not need anything from us. However, if we offer Him a little water, a flower, and a tulsi leaf, He will accept them. Bhakti, devotional service, is the main way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not a question of arranging huge sacrifices. The priests were regretful, thinking that they were not on the path of devotional service and that their sacrifice was not pleasing to the Lord. Text number 8. All of life's goals and opulences are directly, self-sufficiently, unceasingly, and unlimitedly increasing in you at every moment. Indeed, you are unlimited enjoyment and blissful experience, existence itself. As far as we are concerned, O Lord, we are always after material enjoyment. You do not need all these sacrificial arrangements, but they are meant for us so that we may be benedicted by your lordship. All these sacrifices are performed for our fruit of results, and they are not actually needed by you. Purport, being self-sufficient, the Supreme Lord does not need huge sacrifices. Fruit of activity for a more opulent life is for those who desire such material opulence for their interest. Jagnartat kamanonyatra loko yam karma bandana. If we do not act to satisfy the Supreme Lord, we engage in Maya's activities. We may construct a gorgeous temple and spend thousands of dollars, but such a temple is not required by the Lord. The Lord has many millions of temples for His residence, and He does not need our attempt. He does not require opulent activity at all. Such engagement is meant for our benefit. If we engage our money in constructing a gorgeous temple, we are freed from the reactions of our endeavors. This is for our benefit. In addition, if we attempt to do something nice for the Supreme Lord, He is pleased with us and gives us His benediction. In conclusion, the gorgeous arrangements are not for the Lord's sake, but for our own. If we somehow or other receive blessings and benedictions from the Lord, our consciousness can be purified and we can become eligible to return home back to Godhead. Text number 9. O Lord of Lords, we are completely ignorant of the execution of Dharma Artha, Kama, and Moksha, the process of liberation, because we do not actually know the goal of life. I'm sorry, the cadence was off. O Lord of Lords, we are completely ignorant of the execution of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, the process of liberation, because we do not actually know the goal of life. You have appeared personally before us like a person soliciting worship, but actually you are present here just so we can see you. You have come out of your abundant and causeless mercy in order to serve our purpose, our interest, and give us the benefit of your personal glory called Apavarga, liberation. You have come, although you are not properly worshipped by us, due to our ignorance. Purport. Lord Vishnu was personally present at the sacrificial arena, but this does not mean that he had any interest in his own personal benefit. Similarly, the Archa Vigraha, the deity in the temple, is present for the same purpose. Out of his causeless mercy, the Supreme Personality of Godhead presents himself before us so that we can see him. Since we have no transcendental vision, we cannot see the spiritual Sakchidananda Vigraha of the Lord. Therefore, out of his causeless mercy, he comes in a form we can see. We can only see material things like stone and wood, and therefore he accepts a form of stone and wood, and thus accepts our service in the temple. This is an exhibition of the Lord's causeless mercy. Although he has no interest in such things, in order to receive our loving service, he agrees to act as he does. We cannot actually offer suitable paraphernalia for the Lord's worship because we are completely ignorant. It was out of his causeless mercy that the Lord appeared in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Nabhi. Text number 10. O most worshipable of all, you are the best of all benefactors, and your appearance at saintly King Nabhi's sacrificial arena is meant for our benediction. Because you have been seen by us, you have bestowed upon us the most valuable benediction. Purport, Nija Purusha Ikshana Vishaya. In Bhagavad Gita 9.29, Krishna says, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is equal to everyone. In that sense, he has no enemies and no friends. Everyone is enjoying the fruit of reactions of his own work. And the Lord, within everyone's heart, is observing and giving everyone the desired result. However, just as the devotees are always anxious to see the Supreme Lord satisfied in every way, similarly, the Supreme Lord is very anxious to present himself before his devotees. Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I invent myself millennium after millennium. Thus, Krishna's appearance is for the deliverance and satisfaction of his devotees. Actually, he does not advent himself simply to kill the demons, for that can be done by his agents. Lord Vishnu's appearance at the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Nabhi was just to please the Lord and his assistants. Otherwise, there was no reason for his being present there.
Text 11. Dear Lord, all the great sages who were thoughtful and saintly persons incessantly recount your spiritual qualities. These sages have already burned up all the unlimited dirty things and by the fire of knowledge strengthened their detachment from the material world. Thus they have attained your qualities and are self-satisfied. Yet even for those who feel spiritual bliss in chanting your attributes, your personal presence is very rare. Purport. The priests in Maharaj Nabhi's sacrificial arena appreciated the personal presence of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and they considered themselves very much obliged. The Lord's appearance is rare, even for great saintly persons who have become completely detached from this material world and whose hearts are clean due to constantly chanting the glories of the Lord. Such people are satisfied by chanting the transcendental qualities of the Lord. The Lord's personal presence is not actually required. The priests are pointing out that the Lord's personal presence is very rare, even for such elevated sages, but that he was so kind to them that now he was personally present. Therefore, the priests were very much obliged. Text 12. Dear Lord, we may not be able to remember your name, form, and qualities due to stumbling, hunger, falling down, yawning, or being in a miserable diseased condition at the time of death when there is a high fever. We therefore pray unto you, O Lord, for you are very affectionate to your devotees. Please help us remember you and utter your holy names, attributes, and activities, which can dispel all the reactions of our sinful lives. Purport. The real success in life is Ante Narayana Smriti, remembering the holy name, attributes, activities, and form of the Lord at the time of death. Although we may be engaged in the Lord's devotional service in the temple, material conditions are so tough and inevitable that we may forget the Lord at the time of death due to a diseased condition or mental derangement. Therefore, we should pray to the Lord to be able to remember his lotus feet without fail at the time of death when we are in such a precarious condition. In this regard, One may also see Srimad Bhagavatam 6 to 9 to 10 and 14 to 15. Text 13. Dear Lord, here is the great King Nabi, whose ultimate goal in life is to have a son like you. Your Lordship, his position is like that of a person approaching a very rich man and begging for a little grain. Maharaj Nabi is so desirous of having a son that he is worshipping you for a son, although you can offer him any exalted position, including elevation to the heavenly planets, or liberation back to Godhead. Purport. The priests were a little ashamed that King Nabi was performing a great sacrifice just to ask the Lord's benediction for his son. The Lord could offer him promotion to the heavenly planets or the Vaikuntha planets. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us how to approach the Supreme Lord and ask him for the ultimate benediction. He said, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamaye. He did not want to ask the Supreme Lord for anything material. Material opulence means riches, a nice family, a good wife, and many followers. But an intelligent devotee doesn't ask the Supreme Lord for anything material. His only prayer is, Mama Janmani Janmani Shware Bhavatad Bhaktira Haituki Twayi. He wants to be engaged perpetually in the loving service of the Lord. He does not want promotion to the heavenly planets or mukti, liberation from material bondage. If this were the case, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not have said, Mama Janmani Janmani. It doesn't matter to a devotee whether or not he takes birth life after life, as long as he remains a devotee. Actually, eternal liberty means returning home back to Godhead. A devotee is never concerned about anything material. Although Nabi Maharaj wanted a son like Vishnu, wanting a son like God is also a form of sense gratification. A pure devotee wants only to engage in the Lord's loving service. Text 14. Dear Lord, unless one worships the lotus feet of great devotees, one will be conquered by the illusory energy and his intelligence will be bewildered. Indeed, who has not been carried away by the waves of material enjoyment, which are like poison? Your illusory energy is unconquerable. No one can see the path of this material energy or tell how it is working. Purport. Maharaj Nabi was inclined to performing great sacrifices for begetting a son. The son might be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but such a material desire, be it great or insignificant, is brought about by the influence of Maya. A devotee does not at all desire anything for sense gratification. Devotion is therefore explained as devoid of material desires. Anya bilas shitas shunya. Everyone is subjected to the influence of Maya and entangled in all kinds of material desire. And Maharaj Nabi was no exception. Freedom from Maya's influence is possible when one engages in the service of the great devotees. Mahach Charana Seva. Without worshipping the lotus feet of a great devotee, one cannot be freed from Maya's influence. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Paye Chikeba. Who has been freed from Maya's clutches without serving the lotus feet of a Vaishnava? Maya is aparajita, and her influence is also aparajita, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.14. Daivi yesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. Only a devotee can surpass Maya's great influence. It was no fault on Maharaj Nabi's part that he wanted a son. He wanted a son like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was the best of all sons. By the association of the Lord's devotee, one no longer desires material opulence. This is confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Saru Sangha, Saru Sangha, Sarva Shastikoi, Lava Matra, Saru Sangha, Sarva Shirihoi. And Mahat Kripa Bina Kona, Karmi Bhakti Naya, Krishna Bhakti Duri Raho, Sangsara Nai, Sangsara Nahi Chaya. If one is serious about escaping Maya's influence and returning home, back to Godhead, one must associate with a sadhu, devotee. That is the verdict of all scriptures. By the slight association of a devotee, one can be freed from the clutches of Maya. Without the mercy of the pure devotee, one cannot get freedom by any means. Certainly, a pure devotee's association is necessary in order to obtain the loving service of the Lord. One cannot be freed from Maya's clutches without sadhu sangha, the benediction of a great devotee. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj says, Naisham matistava guru kramangrim Pishat janarta pagamo marartaha Mahiyasam padagasho pishekam Nishkinshananam namirityavat. One cannot become the Lord's pure devotee without taking the dust of a great devotee on his head. Pada Risho Vishekam. A pure devotee is Niskinchana. He has no material desire to enjoy the material world. One has to take shelter of such a pure devotee in order to attain his qualities. The pure devotee is always free from the clutches of Maya and her influence. Text 15. O Lord, you perform many wonderful activities. Our only aim was to acquire a son by performing this great sacrifice. Therefore, our intelligence is not very sharp. We are not experienced in ascertaining life's goal. By inviting you to this negligible sacrifice for some material motive, we have certainly committed a great offense at your lotus feet. Therefore, O Lord of Lords, please excuse our offense because of your causeless mercy and equal mind. Purport. The priests were certainly unhappy to have called the Supreme Lord from Vaikuntha for such an insignificant reason. A pure devotee never wants to see the Lord unnecessarily. The Lord is engaged in various activities and the pure devotee does not want to see him whimsically for his own sense gratification. The pure devotee simply depends on the Lord's mercy, and when the Lord is pleased, he can see him face to face. The Lord is unseen even by the demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. By calling on the Supreme Lord, the priests of Nabi Maharaj proved themselves unintelligent. Nonetheless, the Lord came out of his the Lord came out of his causeless mercy. All of them, therefore, wanted to be excused by the Lord. Worship of the Supreme Lord for material gain is not approved by authorities. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukhadinorjuna arto jignyasur artharti jnani cha bharatar shabha.
Time.
So it was mentioning here how Prabhupada was mentioning that, you know, to the pure devotee doesn't want to see God unnecessarily. And we hear Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also mentions that we shouldn't endeavor to see God, we should endeavor that God sees us. And it's pretty clear that that's like a more refined spiritual sentiment than just the desire to see God. But my question is it not still a spiritual desire to want to see God? And it first of all indicates that one at least believes in God, and it also indicates they want some realization of God. So is that also condemned?
It's condemned from a higher standard that they're accusing themselves of. But in the general sense, it's spiritual. I mean, even Kardama Muni, it was obvious to the Lord that what his desire was to ask for a benediction, which was he wanted a wife. But when the Lord appeared before him, Bindu Sarovara, out of compassion for the sage, he shed a tear, became that Sarovara, and he loved him. So even though he knew he had some material desire and he had already fulfilled it, there was no sense that it was something bad, you know. It's just a higher standard.
I heard Gopi Prabhupada talk on this subject, and he said actually Kardama Muni was not an ordinary person. He said he had already qualified himself to have God as his son. Now, I'm not sure if it's the same exact thing as here in this music, but no one can actually get God as the son just by a material desire. That confirms your point.
Again, this seems like a relatively elevated sentiment or desire to want to see God relative to other types of consciousness. And Narada Muni wanted to see the Lord also, right? And when he was a child also, right?
Yeah, but that was immature. He was in an immature stage, and therefore Krishna appeared to him, and then he tried to get him back again by the same process, but he wouldn't come back, and then he appeared to him as a voice. And he said, "I'm sorry, you can't actually see me unless you're purified. So he was obviously advanced, but in an immature stage. Oh, best among the Bharats, Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the absolute truth. So I wanted to make a comment that after that verse, then Krishna says, Udara sarva evaite, jnani tvat maiva me matam. In other words, all of those souls are magnanimous, which comes to your point. But then he says, Udara sarva evaite, jnani tvat maiva me matam. Astita sahayukta mame vat nutamam gatim. But the uttama gatim, the ones who are most pleasing to me, are the ones that come with knowledge, understanding that I am the Lord and they want to please me. But they're all udara sarva evaite, they're all magnanimous.
They're all advanced, but that's more mature.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, they're all magnanimous, means anyone who approaches Krishna, that's to your point, it's not an ordinary thing to approach Krishna, even if you have material desires. But to get the Lord's personal darshan and personal relationship with Krishna in such an elevated situation as father and son, that's not an ordinary thing. And that's why Gopi made that point about Kardama Muni. Okay. Initiation into bhakti begins when one is in a distressed condition, or in want of money, or when one is inquisitive to understand the absolute truth. Nonetheless, people who approach the Supreme Lord in this way are not actually devotees. They are accepted as pious, sukritina, due to their inquiring about the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not knowing the various activities and engagements of the Lord, such people unnecessarily disturb the Lord for material gain. However, the Lord is so kind that even though disturbed, He fulfills the desires of such beggars. The pure devotee is anyabhilashita shunya. He has no motive behind his worship. He is not conducted by the influence of maya, any form of karma or jnana. The pure devotee is always prepared to execute the order of the Lord without personal consideration. The ritatva, the ritbija, the priests at the sacrifice, knew very well the distinction between karma and bhakti. And because they considered themselves under the influence of karma, fruitive activity, they begged the Lord's pardon. They knew that the Lord had been invited to come for some paltry reason.
I sing the body electric. I sing the body electric. It's a poem about how the body is electric.
Too many electrolytes.
Can I bring up one last?
For the whole yatra?
Oh, well, if you want, you can give me a limit on my.
Okay, you get six more, so choose them wisely.
Six more for the
rest just
of
kidding.
The year?
Go ahead, Nagar.
No, but I was just going to say, sorry, I'm just still thinking about what we were just talking about. And there's.
But if we like it, we'll add points, and if we don't, we'll subtract.
Okay. Jagannath Swami, my Anupatagami, Babatume, that the prayer is there. Please let the Lord be present to our vision. So I like what you said. It's like it might be an immature desire, but it's still a spiritual desire. This person's not asking for anything in the material world, but it's just not the, it's not very.
It's different than that verse after the Dabhidhatimam, where the Kapha says they're not actually devotees. That these are Prakriti Bhakta, but a Prakriti Bhakta doesn't want to see the Lord exactly. He doesn't have that. He just wants relief from something. He wants some help. He wants some, you know, something from the Lord. But that prayer is not like that. That prayer is for darshan, personal darshan of the Lord.
Text 16. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, the priests who were even worshipped by King Nabhi, the emperor of Bharatvarsha, offered prayers in prose, generally they were in poetry, and bowed down at the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord of Lords, the ruler of the demigods, was very pleased with them, and he began to speak as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead replied, O great sages, I am certainly very pleased with your prayers. You are all truthful. You have prayed for the benediction of a son like me for King Nabhi. But this is very difficult to obtain. Since I am the Supreme Person without a second, and since no one is equal to me, another personality like me is not possible to find. In any case, because you are all qualified brahmanas, your vibrations should not prove untrue. I consider the brahmanas who are well qualified with brahminical qualities to be as good as my own mouth. Purport, the word avitata girbhi means they whose spoken vibrations cannot be nullified. Avitata girbhi. The brahmanas, dvija, the twice-born, are given a chance by the shastric regulations to become almost as powerful as the Supreme Lord. Whatever a brahmana speaks cannot be nullified or changed in any circumstance. According to the Vedic injunctions, a brahmana is the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in all rituals, a brahmana is offered food, brahmana bhojana. Because when a brahmana eats, it is considered the Supreme Lord himself eats. Similarly, whatever a brahmana speaks cannot be changed. It must act. The learned sages who were priests at Maharaj Nabhi's sacrifice were not only brahmanas, but were so qualified that they were like devas, demigods, or God himself. If this were not the case, how could they invite Lord Vishnu to come to the sacrificial arena? God is one, and God does not belong to this or that religion. In Kali Yuga, different religious sects consider their God to be different from the God of others. But that is not possible. God is one, and He is appreciated according to different angles of vision. In this verse, the word Kaivalyat means that God has no competitor. There is only one God. In the Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8, it is said, Natat shamash chab yadikash jadrushyate. No one is found to be equal to Him or greater than Him. That is the definition of God. 18. Since I cannot find anyone equal to me, I shall personally expand myself into a plenary portion and thus invent myself into the womb of Meru Devi, the wife of Maharaj Nabi, the son of Agnidra. Purport, this is an example of the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although He is one without a second, He expands Himself by Swamsha, His personal expansion, and sometimes by Bibinangsha, or His separated expansion. Lord Vishnu herein agrees to send His personal expansion as the son of Meru Devi, the wife of Maharaj Nabi, who is the son of Agnidra. The Ritvija, the priest, knew that God is one. Yet they prayed for the Supreme Lord to become the son of Maharaj Nabi, to let the world know that the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is one without a second. When He incarnates, He expands Himself in different potencies. 19. Shukadeva Goswami continued, after saying this, the Lord disappeared. The wife of King Nabi, Queen Meru Devi, was sitting by the side of her husband, and consequently, she could hear everything the Supreme Lord had spoken. Purport, according to the Vedic injunctions, one should perform sacrifices in the company of one's own wife. Sapatniko dharmam acharet. Religious rituals should be performed with one's wife. Therefore, Maharaj Nabhi conducted his great sacrifice with his wife by his side. 20. O Vishnu Datta, Parikshit Maharaj, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was pleased by the great sages at that sacrifice. Consequently, the Lord decided to personally exhibit the method of executing religious principles as observed by brahmacharya sannyasis, vanaprastas, and grihastas engaged in rituals, and also satisfy Maharaj Nabi's desire. Consequently, He appeared as the son of Meru Devi in His original spiritual form, which is above the modes of material nature. Purport, when the Supreme Lord appears or descends as an incarnation within this material world, He does not accept a body made of the three modes of material nature, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun. Mayavadi philosophers say that the impersonal God appears in this material world by accepting a body in the sattva-gun. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur states that the word shukla means consisting of shuddha-sattva. Lord Vishnu descends in His shuddha-sattva form. Shuddha-sattva refers to the sattva-gun, which is never contaminated. In this material world, even the mode of goodness, sattva-guna, is contaminated by tinges of rajaguna and tamaguna. When sattva-guna is never contaminated by rajaguna and tamaguna, it is called shuddha-sattva, sattvam vishuddham vasudeva shabditam. That's 4.3.23. That is the platform of Vasudev, whereby the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, can be experienced. In Bhagavad Gita 4.7, Sri Krishna Himself says, Yada yada hi dharmasya lani bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srajamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, of descendant of heart, and a predominant rise of your religion, at that time I descend myself. Unlike ordinary living entities, the Supreme Lord is not forced by the modes of material nature to appear. He appears. Dharman darshayit kama, yitu kama, to show how to execute the functions of a human being. The word dharma is meant for human beings and is never used in connection with beings inferior to human beings, such as animals. Unfortunately, without being guided by the Supreme Lord, human beings sometimes manufacture a process of dharma by concoction. Actually, dharma cannot be made by man. Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. Dharma is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just as the law is given by the state government. Man-made dharma has no meaning. Srimad Bhagavatam refers to man-made dharma as Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion. The Supreme Lord sends an avatar, incarnation, to teach human society the proper way to execute religious principles. Such religious principles are Bhakti Marg. As the Supreme Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman Pratyaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja, the son of Maharaj Nabhi, Rishabhadeva, appeared on this earth to preach the principles of religion. That will be explained in the fifth chapter of this fifth canto. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Rishabhadeva's Appearance in the Womb of Merudevi, the Wife of King Nabhi. Now it's time for the cow break. We'll be back here at 5:10. Gaur Premanande Haribol.
We're reading from the fifth canto, fourth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Characteristics of Rishabhadev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 1. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, as soon as the Lord was born as the son of Maharaj Nabhi, he manifested symptoms of the Supreme Lord, such as marks on the bottoms of his feet, the flag, thunderbolt, etc. This son was equal to everyone and very peaceful. He could control his senses and his mind, and, possessing all opulence, he did not hanker for material enjoyment. Endowed with all these attributes, the son of Maharaj Nabhi became more powerful day after day. Due to this, the citizens, learned brahmanas, demigods, and ministers wanted Rishabhadev to be appointed ruler of the earth. Purport. In these days of cheap incarnations, it is very interesting to note the bodily symptoms found in an incarnation. From the very beginning of his birth, it was observed that Rishabhadev's feet were marked with the transcendental signs, a flag, thunderbolt, lotus flower, etc. In addition to this, as the Lord began to grow, he became very prominent. He was equal to everyone. He did not favor one person and neglect another. An incarnation of God must have the six opulences: wealth, strength, knowledge, beauty, fame, and renunciation. It is said that although Rishabhadev was endowed with all opulences, he was not at all attached to material enjoyment. He was self-controlled and therefore liked by everyone. Due to his super excellent qualities, everyone wanted him to rule the earth. An incarnation of God has to be accepted by experienced people and by the symptoms described in the Shastras. An incarnation is not accepted simply by the adulation of foolish people. Text 2. When the son of Maharaj Nabhi became visible, he evinced all good qualities described by the great poets, namely a well-built body with all the symptoms of the Godhead, prowess, strength, beauty, fame, name, fame, influence, and enthusiasm. When the father, Maharaj Nabhi, saw all these qualities, he thought his son to be the best of human beings, or the Supreme Being. Therefore, he gave him the name Rishabh. Purport. To accept someone as God or an incarnation of God, one must observe the symptoms of God in his body. All these symptoms were found in the body of Maharaj Nabhi's extraordinarily powerful son. His body was well structured, and he displayed all the transcendental qualities. He showed great influence, and he could control his mind and senses. Consequently, he was named Rishabha, which indicates that he was the supreme living being. Text 3. Indra, the king of heaven,
who is very materially opulent, became envious of King Rishabha. Consequently, he stopped pouring water on the planet known as Varadvaja. This Indra is really a case, isn't it? At that time, the Supreme Lord, Rishabhadev, the master of all mystic power, understood King Indra's purpose and smiled a little. Then, by his own prowess, through Yoga Maya, his internal potency, he profusely poured water upon his own place, which was known as Ajanabha. Purport. We find the word Bhagavan used twice in this verse. Both King Indra and Rishabhadev, the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, are described as Bhagavan. Sometimes Narada and Lord Brahma are also addressed as Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan means that one is very opulent, is a very opulent and powerful person, like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada, or Indra. They are all addressed as Bhagavan due to their extraordinary opulence. King Rishabhadev is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and therefore he was the original Bhagavan. Consequently, he is described here as Yogeshwara, which indicates that he has the most powerful spiritual potency. He is not dependent on King Indra for water. He can supply water himself, and he did so in this case. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Yagyad Bhavadi Parajanya, due to the performance of yajna, clouds of water are manifest in the sky. Clouds and rainfall are under the management of Indra, the heavenly king. But when Indra is neglectful, the Supreme Lord himself, who is also known as Yajna or Yajnapati, takes the task upon himself. Consequently, there was sufficient rainfall in the place named Ajanabha. When Yajnapati wants to, he can do anything without the help of any subordinate. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is known as Almighty. In the present age of Kali, there will eventually be a great scarcity of water, anavrishti, for the general populace, due to ignorance and the scarcity of yogic ingredients. I have to read that sentence again, excuse me. In the present age of Kali, there will eventually be a great scarcity of water, anavrishti, for the general populace. Due to ignorance and the scarcity of yogic ingredients, will neglect to perform yajnas. Oh. Yeah, four. The four is the question. For the general populace, due to ignorance. I'll read it again. In the present age of Kali, there will eventually be a great scarcity of water, anavrishti. For the general populace, due to ignorance and the scarcity of yogic ingredients, will neglect to perform yajnas. Srimad Bhagavatam therefore advises, yajnai sankirtana prayai yajanti hi sumedasaha. After all, yajna is meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this age of Kali, there is great scarcity and ignorance. Nonetheless, everyone can perform Sankirtan Yajna. Every family and every society can conduct Sankirtan Yajna at least every evening. In this way, there will be no disturbance or scarcity of rain. It is essential for the people in this age to perform the Sankirtan Yajna in order to be materially happy and to advance spiritually. Text 4. Due to getting a perfect son according to his desire, King Nabi was always overwhelmed with transcendental bliss and was very affectionate to his son. It was with ecstasy and a faltering voice that he addressed him, "My dear son, my darling." This mentality was brought about by Yoga Maya, whereby he accepted the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Father, as his own son. Out of his supreme goodwill, the Lord became his son and dealt with everyone as if he were an ordinary human being. Thus King Nabi began to raise his transcendental son with great affection, and he was overwhelmed with transcendental bliss, joy, and devotion. Purport. The word Maya is used in the sense of illusion. Considering the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be his own son, Maharaj Nabi was certainly an illusion, but this was transcendental illusion. This illusion is required. Otherwise, how can one accept the Supreme Father as one's own son? The Supreme Lord appears as the son of one of his devotees, just as Lord Krishna appeared as the son of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. These devotees could never think of their son as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for such appreciation would hamper their relationship of parental love. Text 5. King Nabi understood that his son, Rishabhadev, was very popular among the citizens and among government officers and ministers. Understanding the popularity of his son, Maharaj Nabi enthroned him as the emperor of the world to give protection to the general populace in terms of Vedic religious system, the Vedic religious system. To do this, he entrusted him into the hands of learned brahmanas who would guide him in administrating the government. Then Maharaj Nabi and his wife, Meru Devi, went to Bhadrikashram in the Himalaya mountains, where the king engaged himself very expertly in austerities and penances with great jubilation. In full samadhi, he worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nara Narayan, who is Nara Narayana, who is Krishna in his plenary expansion. By doing so, in course of time, Maharaj Nabi was elevated to the spiritual world known as Vaikuntha. Purport. When Maharaj Nabi saw that his son Rishabhadev was popular with the general populace and the governmental servants, he chose to install him on the imperial throne. In addition, he wanted to entrust his son into the hands of the learned brahmanas. This means that a monarch was supposed to govern strictly according to Vedic principles under the guidance of learned brahmanas, who could advise him according to the standard Vedic scriptures, like Manu Samhita, like Manu Smriti, and similar shastras. It is the duty of the king to rule the citizens according to Vedic principles. According to Vedic principles, society is divided into four categories: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Chaturvarnya miyachristam gunakarma vivajak bhagachaha. After dividing society in this way, it is the king's duty to see that everyone executes Vedic principles according to his caste. A Brahmana must perform the duty of a Brahmana without cheating the public. It is not that one attains the name of a Brahmana without the qualifications. It is the king's duty to see that everyone engages in his occupational duty according to Vedic principles. In addition, retirement at the end of life is compulsory. Maharaj Nabi, although still a king, retired from family life and went with his wife to a place called Bhadrikashram in the Himalayas, where the deity Narayana is worshipped. The words Prasanna Nipunena Tapasa indicate that the king accepted all kinds of austerity very expertly and jubilantly. He did not at all mind leaving his comfortable life at home, although he was the emperor. Despite undergoing severe austerities and penances, he felt very pleased at Bhadrikashram, and he did everything there expertly. In this way, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Samadhi Yoga, always thinking of Krishna, Vasudeva, Maharaj Nabi attained success at the end of his life and was promoted to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha Loka. This is the way of Vedic life. One must stop the process of repeated birth and death and return home, back to Godhead. The words tan mahimanam avapa are significant in this regard. Srila Sridhar Swami says that mahima means liberation in this life. We should act in such a way in this life that after giving up this body, we will become liberated from the bondage of repeated birth and death. This is called Jivan Mukti. Srila Viraragava Acharya states that in the Chandogya Upanishad, there are 8 symptoms of a Jivan Mukta, a person who is already liberated, even when living in this body. The first symptom of one so liberated is that he is freed from all sinful activity. The first symptom of one so liberated is that he is freed from all sinful activity. Apahata papa.
Apahata papa.
Apahata papa. Apahata papa. Your name is Apahata Papa Das. Would you like that name?
Apahata papa.
You're next. You'll probably put it off. I don't want to get a name like that. I'll have an Apahata Papa, please. As long as one is under the clutches of Maya in the material energy, one has to engage in sinful activity. Bhagavad Gita describes such people as Dushkritina, which indicates that they are always engaged in sinful activity. One who is liberated in this life does not commit any sinful activities. Sinful activity involves illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Another symptom of a liberated person is vijara, which indicates that he is not subjected to the miseries of old age. Another symptom is vimityu. A liberated person prepares himself in such a way that he does not take on any more material bodies which are destined to die. In other words, he does not fall down again to repeat birth and death. Another symptom is vishoka, which indicates that he is callous to material distress and happiness. Another is vijigatsa, which indicates that he no longer desires material enjoyment. Another symptom is apipata, which means that he has no desire other than to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, his dear most crucible friend, pursuable friend.
Pursuable Lord?
Pursuable Lord. I'm sorry, I'll read that again. I was entertaining, and I lost my place and lost it over here.
That's all right. We like to entertain.
Another symptom is apipata, which means that he has no desire other than to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, his dear most pursuable Lord.
Pursuable?
Pursuable. A further symptom is satyakama, which indicates that all his desires are directed to the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Truth, Krishna. He does not want anything else. He is satyasankalpa. Whatever he desires is fulfilled by the grace of Krishna. First of all, he does not desire anything for his material benefit. And secondly, if he desires anything at all, he simply desires to serve the Supreme Lord. That desire is fulfilled by the Lord's grace. That is called satyasankalpa. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the word mahima means returning to the spiritual world, back home, back to Vaikuntha. Sri Sukadeva says that the word mahima means that the devotee attains the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is called sadharma, or the same quality. Just as Krishna is never born and never dies, His devotees who return to Godhead never die and never take birth within the material world.
Pursuable Lord. I've never heard that term before.
Does that mean that he allows himself to be pursued?
He's able to be pursued.
Yes, exactly.
Pursuable.
Exactly. He's allowing himself to be pursued.
Omar's picture. To glorify Maharaj Nabhi, the old sages composed two verses. One of them is this. Who can attain the perfection of Maharaj Nabhi? Who can attain his activities? Because of his devotional service, the Supreme Personality of God had agreed to become his son. The words shudhena karmana are significant in this verse. If work is not carried out in devotional service, it is contaminated by the modes of material nature. That is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Jagnartha Kamano Nyatra, Loko Yam Karma Bandana. Activities performed only for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord are pure and are not contaminated by the modes of material nature. All other activities are contaminated by the modes of ignorance and passion as well as goodness. All material activities meant for satisfying the senses are contaminated. And Maharaj Nabhi did not perform anything contaminated. He simply executed his transcendental activities, even when performing yajna. Consequently, he obtained the Supreme Lord as his son. 7. The second prayer is this. Who is a better worshipper of Brahmanas than Maharaj Nabhi? Because he worshipped the qualified Brahmanas to their full satisfaction, the Brahmanas, by their brahminical prowess, showed Maharaj Nabhi the Supreme Personality of God in Narayan in person. Purport. The Brahmanas engaged as priests in the sacrificial ceremony were not ordinary Brahmanas. They were so powerful that they could bring forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead by their prayers. Thus, Maharaj Nabhi was able to see the Lord face to face. Unless one is a Vaishnava, he cannot call forth the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord does not accept an invitation unless one is a Vaishnava. Therefore, it is said in Padma Purana, Shatkarma nipuno vipro mantra tantra visharadaha Vaishnava gurur na syad Vaishnava shva pacho guruhu. A scholarly brahmana expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava, but a person born in a family of a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava. These brahmanas were certainly very expert in chanting the Vedic mantras. They were competent in the performance of the Vedic rituals, and over and above this, they were Vaishnavas. Therefore, by their spiritual powers, they could call on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and enable their disciple, Maharaj Nabhi, to see the Lord face to face. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments that the word ojasa means by dint of devotional service. Text number 8. After Nabhi Maharaj, After Nabhi Maharaj departed for Bhadarika Ashram, the Supreme Lord Rishabhadeva understood that his kingdom was his field of activities. He therefore showed himself as an example and taught the duties of a householder by first accepting brahmacharya under the direction of spiritual masters. He also went to live at the spiritual master's place, Gurukula. After his education was finished, he gave gifts, Guru Dakshina, to his spiritual masters and then accepted the life of a householder. He took a wife named Jayanti and begot 100 sons who were as powerful and qualified as he himself. His wife Jayanti had been offered to him by Indra, the king of heaven. Rishabhadeva and Jayanti performed householder life in an exemplary way, carrying out ritualistic activities ordained by the Shruti and Smriti Shastra. Wasn't Indra a little envy?
Indra, yeah.
He had been envious at first, and he later on he gave. Well, it doesn't say where Jayanti's from. His wife Jayanti had been offered to him. Anyway, purport. Being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Rishabhadeva had nothing to do with material affairs. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam, the purpose of an incarnation is to liberate his devotees and to stop the demoniac activities of non-devotees. These are the two functions of the Supreme Lord when he incarnates. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that in order to preach, one must live a practical life and show people how to do things. What kind of life must one live, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Practical life and show how to do things.
Do you agree with that, Sri Dham? Do you agree with that? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that in order to preach, one must live a practical life and show people how to do things. What does one have to do, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
He has to live a practical life.
Yep. And show people?
And
show people how to do things.
10 points. 10 points. Apani apani achari bhakti shikaimu sabhari. One cannot teach others unless he behaves the same way himself. Rishabhadeva was an ideal king, and he took his education in the Gurukula, although he was already educated because the Supreme Lord is omniscient. Although Rishabhadeva had nothing to learn from Gurukula, he went there just to teach the people in general how to take an education from the right source, from Vedic teachers. He then entered householder life and lived according to the principles of Vedic knowledge, Shruti and Smriti. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami, quoting the Skanda Purana, states, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidimbana Aikantiki Hare Bhaktir Utpatayaiva Kalpate. Human society must follow the instructions received from Shruti and Smriti, Vedic literature. Practically applied in life, this is worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the Pancharatrika Vidhi. Every human being must advance his spiritual life and at the end return home back to Godhead. Maharaj Rishabhadeva strictly followed all these principles. He remained an ideal grihastha and taught his sons how to become perfect in spiritual life. These are some examples of how he ruled the earth and completed his mission as an incarnation. 9. Of Rishabhadeva's 100 sons, the eldest, named Bharat, was a great exalted devotee qualified with the best attributes. In his honor, this planet has become known as Bharatvarsha. Purport: this planet known as Bharatvarsha is also called Punya Bhumi, the pious land. At the present moment, Bharat Bhumi or Bharatvarsha is a small piece of land extending from the Himalaya mountains to Cape Cormoran. Sometimes this peninsula is called Punya Bhumi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given special importance to the people of this land. Bharata Bhumati Hoila Manusha Janma Jar Janma Sarta Kari Kari Para Upakar. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. The inhabitants of this piece of land are very fortunate. They can purify their existence by accepting this Krishna consciousness movement and go outside Bharata Bhumi, India, and preach this cult to benefit the whole world. What is another name for the peninsula?
Punya Bhumi.
Punya Bhumi? Do you agree? Punya Bhumi? Okay, another 10 points. The pious land.
Tapabhumi,
yeah. 10. Following Bharat, there were 99 other sons. Among these were 9 elderly sons named Kushavarta, Ilavarta, Brahmavarta, Malaya, Ketu, Bhadrasena, Indrasprik, Vidarbha, and Kikata. You like Indrasprik?
I like Indrasprik.
Indrasprik. Kikata and Indrasprik.
Put those on the list. We'll give them
Indrasprik. Somebody that's maybe into piercings and stuff like that would appreciate that. if they have a lot of tattoos and stuff.
Text 10 and 11.
Sorry. Excuse me. Don't let me get in your way. Thanks. Don't mind if I do. Okay.
Ooh, look at this. It's a nice verse. It names all the Navayogendras. Kavir, Havir, Antariksha, Prabhuda, Pipalayanaha, Avir Hotota, Drumilash, Chamasa, Kara, Bhajana.
In addition to those.
Go right ahead.
In addition to those sons.
Don't mock me.
Don't mock me. In addition to these sons were Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabhuda, Pipalayana, Avirhotra, Drumala, Chamasa, and Karabhajan. These were all very exalted, advanced devotees and authorized preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam. These devotees were glorified due to their strong devotion to Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they were very exalted. To satisfy the mind perfectly, I, Shukadeva Goswami, shall hereafter describe the characteristics of these 9 devotees when I discuss the conversation between Narada and Vasudeva. Now, I want to point out that here it says, Bhagavad Dharma Darshana, authorized preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, this is another evidence that Jiva Goswami compiled to conclude that the Srimad Bhagavatam is eternal. Because here, when is this? This is in the beginning of the creation. And these were great preachers of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Isn't it? Okay. Text 13. In addition to these 19 sons mentioned above, there were 81 younger ones, all born of Rishabhadev and Jayanti. According to the order of their father, they became well-cultured, well-behaved, very pure in their activities, and expert in Vedic knowledge and the performance of Vedic rituals. Thus they all became perfectly qualified brahmanas. Purport. From this verse we have good information of how the castes are qualified according to quality and work. Rishabhadev, a king, was certainly a Kshatriya. He had 100 sons, and out of these, 10 were engaged as Kshatriyas and ruled the planet. 9 sons became good preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabhagavatas. And this indicates that they were above the position of brahmanas. The other 81 sons became highly qualified brahmanas. These are some practical examples of how one can become fit for a certain type of activity by qualification, not by birth. All the sons of Maharaj Rishabhadev were Kshatriyas by birth, but by quality, some of them became Kshatriyas and some became brahmanas. 9 became preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavata Dharma Darshanaha, which means that they were above the categories of Kshatriya and Brahmana.
Yes, Lakshana.
14. Text 14. Being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhadeva was fully independent because his form was spiritual, eternal, and full of transcendental bliss. He eternally had nothing to do with the 4 principles of material misery, birth, death, old age, and disease, nor was he materially attached. He was always equipoised, and he saw everyone on the same level. He was unhappy to see others unhappy, and he was the well-wisher of all living entities. Although he was a perfect personality, the Supreme Lord and controller of all, he
He nonetheless acted as if he were an ordinary conditioned soul. Therefore, he strictly followed the principles of Varnashrama Dharma and acted accordingly. In due course of time, the principles of Varnashrama Dharma had become neglected. Therefore, through his personal characteristics and behavior, he taught the ignorant public how to perform duties within the Varnashrama Dharma. In this way, he regulated the general populace and householder life, enabling them to develop religion and economic well-being, and to attain reputations, sons and daughters, material pleasure, and finally, eternal life. By his instructions, he showed how people could remain householders and at the same time become perfect by following the principles of Varnashrama Dharma. Purport. The Varnashrama Dharma is meant for imperfect conditioned souls. It trains them to become spiritually advanced in order to return home, back to Godhead. A civilization that does not know the highest aim of life is no better than an animal society. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Nate vidus varkatitim hi vishnum, a human society is meant for elevation to spiritual knowledge so that all the people can be freed from the clutches of birth, death, old age and disease. The Varnashrama Dharma enables human society to become perfectly fit for getting out of the clutches of Maya. And by following the regulative principles of Varnashrama Dharma, one can become successful. In this regard, see Bhagavad Gita 3:21-24. Text 15. Whatever action is performed by a great man, common men follow. Yach chirasanya chiritam tat tad anuvartate lokaha. A similar verse is found in Bhagavad Gita 3:21. It is essential for human society to have a section of men perfectly trained as qualified brahmanas, according to the instructions of Vedic knowledge. Those below the brahminical qualification, administrators, merchants, and workers, should take instructions from those ideal people who are considered to be intellectuals. In this way, everyone can be elevated to the highest transcendental position and be freed from material attachment. The material world is described by Lord Krishna himself as dukhalayam, ashaswatam, a temporary place of misery. No one can stay here, even if he makes a compromise with misery. I'll read that again. No one can stay here, even if he makes a compromise with misery. One has to give up this body and accept another, which may not even be a human body. As soon as one gets a material body, he becomes dehabrit or dehi. In other words, he is subjected to all the material conditions. The leaders of society must be so ideal that by following them, one can be relieved from the clutches of material existence.
That is the verse, Shushanya.
Shushanya.
Shushanya means head. By the leading personalities.
Very interesting. Very interesting how all of the other ones become perfect by listening to them and following them. It isn't that they get, just because they're doing that particular duty, they're doing it in the direction of the head. Interesting.
What's the name?
Yeah. Qualification, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Tad anuvartate lokaha. Loka, the people in general. Yet, whatever, shirshanya, by the leading personalities. Acharitam. Text 16. Although Lord Rishabhadeva knew everything about confidential Vedic knowledge, which includes information about all types of occupational duties, he still maintained himself as a kshatriya and followed the instructions of the brahmanas as they related to mind control, sense control, tolerance, and so forth.
Thus, he ruled the people according to the system of Varnashrama Dharma, which enjoins that the Brahmanas instruct the Kshatriyas and the Kshatriyas administer to the state through the Vaishyas and Shudras. Mm. Purport. Although Rishabhadeva knew all the Vedic instructions perfectly well, he nonetheless followed the instructions of the Brahmanas in order to perfectly maintain the social order. The Brahmanas would give advice according to the Shastras, and all the other castes would follow. The word Brahma means perfect knowledge of all activities, and this knowledge is very confidentially described in the Vedic literatures. Men trained perfectly as Brahmanas should know all Vedic literature, and the benefit derived from this literature should be distributed to the general populace. The general populace should follow the perfect Brahmana. In this way, one can learn how to control the mind and senses and thus gradually advance to spiritual perfection. Reflections. Mm.
A society that does not know the aim of life is no better than an animal society. We've heard that a couple times, but I like that.
You like that? What is it about it that you like?
Because, I guess we experience, or we have this, like, illusion that society without Krishna is maybe, like, a good idea, or, like, it's normal.
Uh-huh.
But then, like, it kind of breaks down when you hear these books and realize.
I like the way you put that, yeah. Because I was thinking about coming into the Delhi airport, and they make you, right after immigration, go through the duty-free shop. There's no other way, except, and it was deliberate, and they're selling whiskey.
All it is liquor.
Whiskey, cigarettes, and perfume.
That's it.
And people think that it's glamorous, and that it's normal, like you were saying, it's normalized. But if you actually consider carefully what they're doing without buying into the dogma that this is an ordinary way of life, and that it's glorious, glamorous, or whatever, then you see it as ludicrous, actually. Yeah, nice point. It's a simple point, but it's really profound, yeah. What are the reflections? Havi Prabhu?
The material world is described by Lord Krishna himself as Dukkalayam Saswati, a temporary place of misery. No one can stay here, even if he makes a compromise.
Even if you make a compromise, he can't stay anyway. This is Ashashvatam, yeah. Sheesh.
I was thinking about the other verse also. Great men, what great men do, common men follow. So, like you were saying, what the verse says about, what the purport about the animal society, how quote unquote great men nowadays in Kali Yuga act like animals. And so, people of Kali Yuga are just following people like that. So.
Yeah. That's right. Yes.
I'm just thinking that how almost every place where you come across with Srila Prabhupada purports, wherever there is a mention about a sacrifice, it's so wonderfully Prabhupada just brings it to the point directly that, you know, this age there is nothing works.
Sankirtan Yoga.
Yeah, and then you see that, you know, still as you move around, especially in India, you know, people are still so much into the yogas. You kind of feel that, you know, people need to know what is the easiest way, you know. They make so many arrangements, so much time is spent arranging so many things, and yet the result is nothing.
Yeah.
Insignificant.
That's true. So much speculation about what to do. That's the verse came up. Shruti Smriti Paranadi Panchatrika Panchatrika Vidambina Aikantiki Vidimbina Aikantiki Hare Bhakti Patiyaiva Kalpate, that lights on. And that is that in that section he was talking about how it's important for everyone to follow the Panchatrika system in the Kali Yuga age, and to get purified, go back to Godhead. People don't know the Vidhis properly. Yajantya Vidhi Purvakam. They do so many kinds of worship that are concocted. What else? Yes?
Like Prabhupada was talking about in Kali Yuga, there would be a lot of lack of rainfall, and that because of lack of yogi, and that Sankirtan Yoga, people just do that, they can achieve all material happiness. Maybe they just do it once in the evening.
Yeah.
That's what it said? If you just do it once in the evening?
Yeah.
It's nice. It's good to know. Yes. After you.
I like how Rishabhadev set the example to follow the Brahmins, although he's God.
Hmm.
And he's a kshatriya, so I follow the Brahmins. And Prabhupada brought that up, that it's necessary. You have to have Brahmins in the Shastra and he follows them.
And when do they go through then? He follows his instructions and his teachers. Didn't need to, he did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Early in the chapters, that sometimes Narada and Lord Brahma are also addressed as Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan means that one is a very Atma and powerful person, like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Narada, or Indra. It seems like this has been brought up like two or three times already previously. Why do you think that this point keeps getting brought up?
Yes, yasti bhakti bhagavati kinchana sarve gunas tatra samasati sura hara bhakta sukato mahaguna manurati nasati davato vihi. The one who performs devotional service to Lord Vishnu attains all the good qualities. It's a point that's made a lot in the Shastra about those who worship the Supreme Personality of God attain all his qualities. And Narada, in his prayers, when he talks about how he was a child and he became advanced by association of the sages, says then he realized that I and the Supreme Lord are the same. Not that the same quality, quantity, but in quality. So the living entity has the same spiritual quality. In other words, it's a glorification of the devotees who become as qualified as the Lord when they perform devotional service. What other things? Yes.
Is that what it means when it said transparent via medium?
Well, it's one of the meanings, transparent via medium. Somebody who's probably gives the example of the postal peon. I was just reading this recently. He said that the spiritual master, generally that's in context of the spiritual master, transparent via medium. He said he's just like a servant, but he said not even a highly placed servant. He said a lowly, menial servant, a peon, who just carries the message and passes it on. He was saying this is the mentality of the spiritual teacher, that this is the message I'm carrying it and passing it on without any interference. I often hear from, it's an interesting phenomenon when you have to take translation in another country. If you don't speak the language and you're giving talks. I mean, sometimes I have the experience, they'll say like three words and the person goes on for about 5 minutes. They're like, what? But translators often say this, that it's a very difficult thing just to stick to what the person's saying. Don't try to embellish it and don't try to change anything, but just pass it on.
I have a question. We see in Bhagavatam so many places that Indra, again and again, he comes down and becomes envious of some king who's performing, or even sometimes, most times, Supreme Personality of God and himself. Is it because the pastimes are being carried out in different yugas, different times, or he's just not going to learn the lesson?
Well, it's a post. Indra's a post, and it's something that, it's not always the same living entity. But Indra, in general, is so susceptible to these kinds of fall downs because of his position. He's just so opulent. He's a king of heaven. And it's really easy to get overwhelmed by that.
I like when it said that one who is qualified as a teacher of Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental to the regular caste categories.
Ah, yeah. Why did you like that?
It's just really shows how advanced, it shows how it's transcendental.
Mm. Yeah, such an important post too, that teachers of Srimad Bhagavatam, how many are there in the world that have fully studied the Bhagavatam and can teach it, know how it all connects, and such an important thing.
So much so that it gets its own category.
Gets its own category. Mm-hmm. And what was your favorite name that we heard today?
Indra Sprit.
Indra Sprit. What does it mean?
Tattoos.
Anything? Anyone? Anyone? Yes.
As we were reading about King Nabi, although the Lord was present in him, he was desiring a son.
Hmm.
So I was just thinking how it's so, and when Maya covers you, when the mode of passion is so strong, then you can't think what's the right thing to do. So I could somehow relate to that sometimes. Although it's not that the Lord is in front of me or something, but although I know that this could be the right thing, then but the mode of passion then just wants to desire.
Hmm.
I once heard Gopi Puranandana Prabhu answer the question. I mean, many people may have heard me say this, but once he was asked the question, why is Maya so strong? Good question. And Gopi's answer was, because Krishna is so unlimitedly beautiful and powerful and wealthy and influential and famous and knowledgeable and wisdom-wise, that for something to cause us to forget him, it must be very strong.
Strong. That's really nice.
Great answer. Mm. And I was reading the other day, we're reading the third canto, we're just starting to get into the creation, and there it describes that actually all those energies that are transformations, they're transformations of his impersonal energy, the Brahmajyoti, and that transforms. So it's he who actually transforms, you know, into the material energy. So he's covered. It's him that's covered.
Then a devotee asked Prabhupada why Maya is so strong, and Prabhupada said, it's not that Maya is so strong, it's that your intention is weak. And then he said that when you keep yourself healthy through eating the right food, proper hygiene, exercise, then you don't fall sick. And similarly, if you keep yourself spiritually fit, then you won't be susceptible to Maya. I really like Gopi's answer, though, because it's like, it's also this experience of how deep the anartas are in the heart. And I was thinking about how they're like, just like jet lag. Once you get it, there's nothing you can really do about it. You can try to take medicine, you can try to sleep more, but it just has its way with you when you get it. And it's a very deep thing because the circadian rhythms are thrown off. And in a similar way with anartas, they're so deeply effective that we don't have any choice to deal with them other than completely surrender to Krishna. Because if they could be easily dealt with prayaschitta or something like that, then we might just think, you know, what's the big deal? And that's also realizing, if one realizes the consequences of touching Maya, then one becomes so aware of the fact that the material world is very implicating. One becomes so deeply implicated by a little touch with Maya, one becomes more careful.
When that section was talking about the form of a human female and how attractive she actually is, and I thought of and how even Nabi had,
Agnidra. Agnidra.
And Priyavrata.
Priyavrata.
You know, became apparently, you know, because that's where he got his energy to do that great service. And then I was thinking of Haridas Thakur, and Maya Devi herself came in the most beautiful female form. And after 3 days, she fell at his feet. She said, "Nobody has been able to resist me except for you, not even Brahma." And Haridas Thakur sometimes considered to be an incarnation of Brahma, or Prahlad Maharaj, influenced by Prahlad Maharaj's nature. So that's the way to become fully, you know, dependent and attached to the name of Krishna and to Bhagavatam.
Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabhuda, Pipalayan, Avyahotra, Drumula, Chamasa, and Karavajana. And now we know there's a verse that has those in.
Yeah.
What are the things? Anything you heard that you liked? Stuck in your mind? Yes, Havi Prabhu. Kavi Havi Antariksha.
Nothing, the coincidence about whatever action is performed by a great man, verse said in a completely different way, but in the translation.
Exactly the same. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought the same thing. Yep.
Why did that strike you?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, it only shows the complexity. Yeah, the compression of the Sanskrit language. Mm. You can compose the same word. How would you say that in English in a different way and translate it?
So Srila Prabhupada's expertise also in, you know, translating it in a way that you can't make a mistake, that you can't get the right meaning.
Okay, Sridham, go ahead. What do you got?
I like that King Indra was giving rain because he was envious of King Rishabha, and then King Rishabha got his own rain.
Yeah. He made a rain on his own place. That's good. Nice reflection. You like that one? Yeah, me too.
Smiled. Pretty good.
He smiled a little, mildly smiled, like, hey. Okay, so we, in the last day and a half, we've gone through a few chapters. We've done this much so far. So we're just beginning our journey. We have, today we made our quota, which is 108 pages a day, in order to go all the way through the seventh canto, fifth, sixth, and seventh. Got to do 108 pages a day. So we made it today, one day at a time, right?
Yeah, we have lots of reflections also.
Lots of good ones.
Yeah.
Gaur Premanande Itai Gaura Haribo 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 Itai Gaura Haribo Itai Gaura Haribo 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 Nitai Gaura Hari Bo. Vancha Gopaguru Vishta Kripa Sandaveva Cha Patita Nam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Mahananda Kuti Vaishnava Niki Jai Kavi Havir Antariksha Prabhuda Pipalayana Avir Hotra, Chamalasha, Drumila, and Karibhajana Ki.
Arman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, hey, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.